job in our student teaching program. And Mother Lyme students who had all these teachers were a great asset and a great, you know, we took pride in them because they were so good. And I think it's for Alexander and Cesaria, the one who worked with her. She died just a few years ago.
Teresa Francis?
No. They did a wonderful job with student teaching. See, they had the elementary. They supervised the student teaching at the elementary. And then the chair of each department would look after the student teaching of the majors. Now, there was a major who wanted to go into English, you know, high school teaching, and to be the chair of that department, who would be responsible for that program. That was later on, that's the way it developed.
And in your position as chairing education, would you ever visit the schools to see those teachers? And would they have been placed, the student teachers, only in Catholic schools, or were they also in public schools?
They were in Catholic schools also. I get mixed up, you know, when I think of Mondale and Clark and some of the others.
Yeah, well, that's easy to mix them up. But would you say that a healthy percentage of students who came did go into education?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We had our program was well thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you have any diocesan connections? Was there a sense of diocese, or was that just kind of irrelevant?
Well, it was mostly through the, I don't remember the diocesan priest so much. More of our contact was with the Jesuit.
Mm-hmm.
But I may be wrong with that. I may have just forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the, did BVM congregational leadership ever visit at Mundelein and come to see how things were going, or just visit with you? I mean, not just you personally, but the BVMs?
They were always, any of the leaders who came were always very gracious and, you know, sort of appreciative. I thought that was very important, that it was not with the idea of checking, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but of showing appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good spirit.
And it'd be good to know that you were supported
from
the leadership. That would make a big difference. Did you have much connection with the surrounding neighborhood people?
I didn't myself.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, you know, before my hall was built, there was a very interesting house on that corner. It was sort of Spanish.
Mm.
And I can remember going over there a couple of days. I forget what our problem was. But in the living room, it was two stories high, you know. It was a very interesting place. But I wasn't involved in planning the new building or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the conference related to the UN. Were there other United States, national, international issues
that
were?
We went to the NCEA meetings. We're always represented there, and there'd always be a report back. NCEA, that's very important.
And you would report to whom?
The community.
Mm. So that would that be an annual meeting for you?
Well, I didn't go every year, but I went very often.
Mm-hmm. And was that your main professional organization, or would you go to other?
Well, there's another one, that the psychology group that I belong to at Loyola. They're quite active in there. I've pretty forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was we have meetings maybe a couple times a year. And very often we'd have to give a paper. I'd be responsible for discussion or something like that. It involved participation.
And giving a paper, that's no small task.
No, that was.
And would you do that like once a year or every couple years?
Every few years, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So that was a Mundelein Loyola organization.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice collaboration.
Yeah. That was I enjoyed that. I've forgotten all about it, but it was a very interesting group. We called it the psychology, something like that.
And we talked about this a little bit before, but how would you talk about the relationship between your professional life and your religious life?
Well, there was no conflict. And you realized that your professional life depended a great deal on your religious values.
And would the demands of one ever crowd the demands of the other?
Well, sometimes. I wonder if you had enough time for prayer, or there was other things that you expected to participate in or to research in. In the later years of Bundelein, when I had psychology majors, I became very close to some of the majors, you know. And I still hear from someone. But that was different from having 200 in class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you had majors, you just hit at them for the class. What did you call it? Anyway, it would be like a seminar class for the majors. And you really got to know them and participate in their study and research and so on.
And would you typically, in the introductory courses, have 200?
Well, I mean, for the whole year, not in a
course. Not in a section. Okay,
oh, no,
I misunderstood you.
I usually have about 200 students.
Yes.
At one time. Oh, no, our classes are around 50, 40, 30.
Well, that's plenty.
Yes. But sometimes, when you considered all the large classes you had, it was a burden sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But our classes were large.
Mm-hmm.
But the classes that I had were classes that were required so often, you know. I took rational psychology, general psychology. Everything was required of everyone.
So that every student graduating from Mundelein would have had psychology classes, right?
Not at the beginning, but later on. Rational general psychology were required. And they would be called rational psychology, philosophy of man. And then, oh, there are other courses in psychology, mental health, and counseling. Oh, history of psychology. That was another course. All the majors took that.
And you, when you talked about the seminar, would you have about how many majors in a group?
About five.
Oh, that'd be nice. Nice group.
Never have there been more than that, five or six. I haven't thought about this for so long.
Probably brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah. And I wish I could remember names better. I could see the people, but I can't put the name on them.
Well, that's perfectly understandable. Lots of us forget people's names easily. And when you look at the contemporary scene, how do you feel about Mundelein becoming a part of Loyola?
I'm delighted that the agreement worked out so beautifully. And I think, realistically, it would have been impossible for Mundelein to be self-supporting financially. When you think of all the money that has been paid already and still needs to be paid in keeping up the buildings and but I think the agreement has worked out beautifully.
This is Sarah McAlpin again. Sister Mary Benedict and I ended this portion of our interview for March 2nd, 1998, at this point. And we're going to get a list of some of the BBMs who were at Mundelein when Benedict was there and come back and fill in, if possible, some of those names with people who were mentioned previously on the tape. So we will have another session later on.